Just like to say welcome to each of you. It's been really good already to be here. I don't really need to say anything. I'll cut it short. We've already had a good service, and I like what Dale read there in Psalm 23. You know, God, when God does something, He doesn't do it halfway. He doesn't take any shortcuts like I do sometimes. But, you know, it says there, Thou preparest, in verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Superabundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, my cup runs over. He doesn't just make it half full. He says, He's going to pour it on until it runs over. I like that. That's the God we serve. I like that. Hey, we have the students. There's some students here. Yeah. The other night, who can at the Christmas pageant, is that what you called it? Friday night? Who can quote John 3? I knew you all can. Everybody probably can. Just one of you quote John 3:16. Can somebody do that? Ooh, good. Thanks, Elena. That's very good. Yes, indeed. And I know the rest of you. Even the little people know that. I know they do. And a very simple, probably the most popular verse in the Bible. Everybody knows it. Everybody can pretty much quote it. And there again, getting back to what I just said, that God doesn't do anything halfway. He gave the best that He had. When He gave Jesus in Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, it says He gave us His only, John 3:16, He just said it. God gave us His only begotten Son. The best He had, He gave it. I like that. And I like what somebody else shared during the sharing time, how that it included, well, that might have been in our Sunday school lesson, where you said that it included everybody. And I like that. That's what He says here, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He doesn't put any qualifiers on that. It doesn't matter what your name is, what country you were born in, where you're from. It doesn't matter. Whosoever believeth in Me, He says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I like that. There's a couple other verses. I may be taking a couple of these out of context, perhaps, if you'll bear with me just a little bit. But there's another one. There's a couple other verses I'd like to refer to. 2 Corinthians 9:15. He talks about the King James. I kind of like what he says. He calls it the unspeakable gift. He's talking about grace here. Exceeding grace of God in you, he says. Thanks be unto God. That's the last verse, 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I like that. Unspeakable. I know the NIV and some of those use the word undescribable. In other words, there's no words to describe. And here he's not actually talking about the birth of Jesus. But yet he is. The living, at least in a way he is. The Living Bible phrases that just a little bit different. And I kind of like that. Let's see if I can find it here. Yes, he said, let me see here. Yes, thank God for His Son, His gift, too wonderful for words. Talking about Jesus, that gift, the gift of grace. He says that wonderful grace of God showing through you, he says. Thank God for his son, his gift. Too wonderful for words. There's nothing that can describe. That's what he's saying, that unspeakable gift. I like that. It's no words can describe what that means, what God did, and how much that meant to him. Like I was saying earlier, he doesn't do anything, God doesn't do anything halfway. He gives us the best he has. And there's another place there. It says in John 10:10. Let's see if I can read that real quick. He says, you know, life, he doesn't just give us life. He says, I'll give you life abundantly. I like that. He said, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he says, I am come that they might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Okay? Not just life, not just enough, not just good enough, but God gives us more than enough. It's abundant life. I like that. And there's other verses that go with this as well. In Romans, you'll find some. In Romans 6:23, he talks about, let's see here if I can find it. He talks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. And in Ephesians 2:8, he talks about the gift of grace. Let's see here. Yes, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay, he says by grace, and that's another thing. I guess as I was studying this, I had to think of that old hymn. You know, amazing grace. Yes, amazing grace. You know, I wish that would be. And it's not considered a Christmas carol or a Christmas song. I wish it was, because I think it applies so well. The amazing grace that God has shown, and there's so many verses in Scripture, and here he says. In Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's nothing I could do. It is a gift of God. And like one writer said, it's God. There's no way we could get up to him. We couldn't get to God, so he had to come down to us. He came down to us and to make a way of salvation. And that is, I like that, grace, peace, joy, love, all that is wrapped up in the gift of Jesus Christ. That's all wrapped up in that gift that he gave to us. And it's just to me, it's a powerful, I can't explain it like I wish I could to you, but it is a powerful, to me, that's powerful. And getting back to what I said, the unspeakable, there's no words to describe what he says there in 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, sometimes I take it so much for granted, and I've, you know, that the church at Ephesus, we've talked about that before. The church in Ephesus, you know, where it says he is somewhat against them. He gave them lots of praise for the things they do, but he said, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. And sometimes that's where I think, and sometimes I feel guilty because I, you know, of everything that God has done, he's given his best. He's made the way. He has paved the way for each one of us for salvation. He says the gift of God is eternal life. He's made that all possible. And yet, how many times do I take that for granted? I don't even remember. I get so busy. And we all do. I know we do. And in myself, when I look at myself, I say, well, man, you got a worldly heart. You know, I'm so busy about doing things about me. It's all about, you know, maybe my business, my home, the family, whatever. And those things aren't wrong. But somehow God gets crowded out. And somehow I don't have room. I don't take the time to worship God. I don't take time to renew that experience that I had with Jesus. You know, when you first got saved, you were excited, okay? You'd tell everybody. It wasn't hard to talk about Jesus. It wasn't hard to talk about what God did for you and how he changed your life and what he did. But as time goes on, it kind of wears off, and I kind of do I take him for granted, I guess? I don't appreciate God. I don't take the time to realize and to think about what he has done and how much he has done. And, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, how can I not be thankful? And let's see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And even when I face uncertain times, uncertain things, and just like Sam here, the things he's been going through, and I had to think of you, Sam, and Edna, and I've had to think of Alan too, and Alan Williams. A lot of us haven't experienced what you have. You know, you've lost several children, and Alan as well. And he lost his wife. And, you know, they're always difficult, not just sometimes. They're very difficult. And how can a loving God, and you've heard that before, how can a God that loves us, that has done all this for us, how can he allow some of these things to happen? And in 1 Corinthians 13, talking about love there, there's just a couple of verses I like, and I'm going to read them out of the Amplified there. In 1 Corinthians 13, it just kind of helped me understand a little bit, you know, that now I'm seeing through a glass darkly. I don't see things clearly. Okay, he said now in verse 9, now we know so little, even with our special gifts, and the preaching of those most gifted is still so poor. But when we have been made perfect and complete, then the need for these inadequate special gifts will come to an end and they will disappear. It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have put away the childish things. In the same way, we can see and understand only a little about God now, as if we were peering at his reflection in a poor mirror. But someday, we are going to see him in his completeness. Face to face, now all that I know is hazy and blurred. But then I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. I like that. You know, God wants the best for us. And you know, I can stand up here and talk about that. It's easy to say how good God is, and he is. But what about those that have been through some really difficult times? It's not quite as easy to say that, is it? And yet in your heart and in my heart, I know that God is good. He's great. He says that, John 3:16, he says, I love you. I gave my only son, the best I have for you. And whosoever. I just like that. It's not qualified. It's whosoever believes in him. You won't perish. But he has promised us everlasting life. The goodness of God. That love. And I guess I'm challenged all the time. I've spoken with some of you, you know Pastor Jerry, the guy that you buy your chicken from. And he's a real inspiration. He's your age, Sam. I think he's 80. I know he's 80, maybe 82. I'm not sure. Still preaches. Still takes his turn. That's okay. Well, you do too. But you know, I look at him and I say, God, I wish, teach me how to love people like he does. I mean, and some of you are so good at that. You have a love for people, you know, and he does. He's got a, you know, he's got a passion for God, but he's got such a compassionate heart for people. And you can tell it. people love him. His church people love him. And as Christians, I know we all want to be, I know we do. We all want to be like that. To love the unlovely. To love those that are got the short end of the stick. God, help me to love those that need you today. And you know, there's something else I come to. You know, how many times I've been critical of people. And maybe, you know, sometimes I've been judgmental. It reminds me of that parable in John, what is it, John 8, I think. The woman caught in adultery. These guys had their hands. They had rocks in their hands. They were ready to stone her. They said, "We caught her in the very act. She deserves to die. The law says we can kill her. That's what we're here for." And they brought it to Jesus and said, "What do you say?" And Jesus told him, he said, "Hey, he that's without sin, if you're without sin, cast the first stone." And he wrote on the ground, you know. You know the story. Slowly, one by one, they all left. And after they all left, Jesus, he asked a woman, he said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "I have none." He said, "I don't accuse you either. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You know, the love of God, to look, not to overlook sin, but to love people in spite of their sin. That's what Jesus did for me. He did for you. In Romans 5:8, he says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you and I before anybody ever knew we'd be here or anywhere. That's the great love that Jesus has. But I thank God for his goodness. I thank him for his love. And my prayer is that I could love like he does. And I know that's your prayer. That's all of our prayers. And you know, along with that, when that's the case, and when you do that, you become vulnerable. Okay? People are going to take advantage of you. They're going to exploit you. And however they can. There's people out here to do that, of course. They did Jesus too. You know, when he fed the 5,000. There's some of them followed. Some people followed him for the free meal. Because they got fed. Well, it's the same in the church. There's people that follow you. There's people that follow the church. They follow along for what they can get from it. There's people out here watch you. They follow you. It's because of what they can get. But you know what? That's not qualified either. Christ doesn't. They did that to him. He loved them in spite of that. And God helped me to do that. To love these people right where they are. In spite of who they are. They're needy people because we all are. We're desperate people. I am. I don't know about you, but I am. And I need God's love and I want to show that. God has been gracious to me. He's loved me, he's loved you, and I want to pass that on, that maybe someone else can find Jesus, can find that peace. It's past time to close. If you will, I'll pray, if you'll stand, and then we'll have a song.
Number 93 in the Christian hymn.
Okay, all right.
Between that and whether our service being what it is, I stand amazed in the presence.
Okay, good. Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come before you just now, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness to us. Father, that you didn't condemn us to death, but Lord, you've loved us. And you said that you loved us. You gave us your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in you, whoever we are, we can find grace, peace, and joy and understanding. Father, thank you for who you are. Help us, Lord, to love those around us, to love them back to you, Father, that they could find peace. They could also find the help and the grace that we found. Thank you, Father, for your amazing grace. Help us today to honor you. Thank you for this service. Bless each one as we go. And may you get all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.